We've been invited to the Lord's table. What does that mean? Have you accepted that invitation? On this day of all days, it should cause us to ponder, to think, to question, and to make a choice. The Bible in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Luke, the 18th and 19th chapter, talks about two invitations that Jesus gave to two particular individuals. We saw a brief glance or a brief picture of what this invitation is all about. The Bible, on one hand, in Luke chapter 18, records the dialogue that Jesus had with who we call a rich young ruler. We don't have his name. It really doesn't matter. He was a young man who felt that he had it all. But the bottom line of that story in Luke chapter 18 is that when he came to Jesus asking for the meaning of life and asking what he must do to inherit eternal life, when Jesus laid it all out there and basically said, "Come to me and follow me." As we saw a young man do just a moment ago, that's what the rich young ruler did. He turned away. He was saddened because he couldn't accept that invitation that Jesus gave, because he couldn't live by the terms of that invitation. He couldn't give it up. He couldn't let go of his prejudice. He couldn't let go of his riches. He couldn't let go of his agenda for what life was to be about. Then it's in that next chapter, the 19th chapter of Luke, where there is another story about an invitation. It's another story about a man. This man we know by name because it's told in that 19th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. His name was Zacchaeus. And what we do know, the New Testament clearly tells us that Zacchaeus was small in stature, the Scripture says, literally. And you remember the story. Perhaps you do, perhaps you don't. Jesus was coming to Zacchaeus' hometown, and Zacchaeus had heard much about the Lord, and he wanted to see him. He wanted to talk with him. Basically, Zacchaeus was searching. He wanted to change his life. He wanted something miraculous to happen within his own life. He couldn't see above the crowd, so he crawled up in that sycamore tree, you remember. And of all the people Jesus could have stopped and conversed with, Jesus stopped and looked up at Zacchaeus in that tree, and you remember said those words, "Come down, I'm going to your house today." Zacchaeus was so stirred and so moved from within that he accepted the invitation Jesus was giving him to come into his own home. And you remember the Bible says that of all the people, because Zacchaeus had a questionable reputation, he was a tax collector. Don't confuse it with the good people of the IRS. This was a man who cheated and defrauded people for his own profit. And he said, "I will pay back, not just what the law requires, but I will double that payback." Truly, this man had been changed from within because he received that invitation and accepted it. A story of a rich young ruler given an invitation to come and follow Jesus, and he refused. The story of an old tax collector who was despised and hated for good reason. He was given the same invitation, and he accepted it. But it's in that 18th chapter, that 27th verse, where the real key to all of this is. Jesus said in Luke 18:27, "The things that are impossible with people are always possible with God." Why did he say those words? The things impossible with people are possible with God. Because you see, that rich young ruler, he walked away. And Jesus wasn't wanting the rich young ruler to say, "I can give it all up, Lord. I can do everything you've asked me to do." What Jesus wanted that young man to say was, "Lord, I can't do this. I'm not capable of doing this. It is not within my makeup as a person to give up these riches. This is impossible for me." And that's exactly what Jesus wanted him to say. He wanted him to say, "Yes, That's exactly what I wanted you to say, because the things that are impossible with you are always possible with me. And that's what we've got to understand today on this Easter Sunday. Every day that we live, that when we see what God is offering to us, when we think about coming to His table, no matter how we feel, if we feel it's something we could never do, if we feel there are things in our lives we could never give up, that's exactly what Jesus wants us to say, because it's then when we admit failure and admit an inability to do what we must do, that's when the power of God comes in and takes over. That's what the Scripture teaches us. So, we look at these tables. We have the table of the Lord that is right here before me, right here before you. His opportunity, His invitation to ask us to come into His kingdom. And then we have these tables on opposite ends of the room that represent attitudes, that represent people just like you and me. I call this one over here, this is the perfect table right here, isn't it? This is the table of arrogance. When you look at this table and look at how everything is set and everything is perfect, everything is ready for the meal, for the feast, who sits around a table like this? What does a table called the table of arrogance really say about the people that we gather here and have the thoughts of arrogance? Well, what do you hear? If we were to join around this table when the people would crowd around it, and my friends, there are many, many people who gather around this table today. These are the things that you'll hear coming from a table like this. God is very lucky to have me. That's what you'll hear at this table. Or maybe something like this. Sin? Oh, my sins are not that significant. They're not that big a deal, especially when you compare it to the sins of others. That's what you'll hear at this table. What else? If you listen carefully, if you gather around the table, and maybe this is where you feel the most comfortable, because this might come out of the conversation. Well, I'm in church just about every week. Or my parents told me I was a Christian. Or I seek to be a good person. I am religious. You begin to see the attitude and the lifestyle that sits around this table. This table that is so perfectly set. This table that refuses to see the need for any change in life. The people that gather around this table are those that are always looking at other people and always judging and accusing other people, because you see, they've got everything just the way they need it, or so they think. The table of arrogance. But there's another table way over here. There's a table that I would simply call the table of regret, the table of shame. The people that sit at this table, I mean, look at this. This table's a mess. I mean, you might call it a kid table, but I don't know what to call it. But the people that sit around this table with these flimsy paper plates, especially when you compare it to that table over there on the other side, when you see this table, what are these people saying? Well, I hear things like this. God can't love me. My sins are too great to ever be forgiven. Or maybe you sit at this table and you hear the conversation of people who would simply say, I'm ashamed of my life. I can't face anyone else with the things that I have done. Folks, there are a lot of people that gather around this table, and they live here. This is all they know. This is all that they've ever heard. And there are some people over there at that table that reinforce what these people have been saying to themselves all of their lives, because these people over here at this table want to make sure that these people never really understand what true peace and happiness is. Where do you find yourself? Where is it? Where do you sit? Are you one of those today that is so blind and arrogant because of, I don't know what it would be? Maybe you were brought up to think that you've got everything put together. Maybe you've been brought up to think that as long as you say certain things and look a certain way that you can fool people. And maybe you can fool people, but can you fool the one who sits at this table? Or maybe you live most of your life over here where most of your conversation is about shame, where the idea of is simply the fact that I have too much junk in my life. I have too many regrets and too many sorrows in my life. And how could God ever have anything to do with a person like me? But yet, we've been invited to this table. We've been invited to the Lord's table. We've been invited to sit with Him. We've been invited to live the life He wants us to live. And if you and I were ever to take seriously the invitation to leave that table and to come over here, or to leave that table, to drop our arrogance, to drop our pride and our confidence in our own way and come and sit at this table, what kind of things would we hear being said here? Well, the Bible has a lot to say about God's kingdom and what goes on at this table. One of the conversations going on around this table, if you live here, if you accept the invitation to come to this table, will be that God says there's no pretending. There's no pretending around this table. Oh, that goes greatly against these people over here, because most of their lives are lived pretending to be something that they're not. Most of their lives are lived in shadows. Most of their life is lived so that they can fool other people. And equally so, even though it's from a different motivation and a completely different set of circumstances, the people that live over at this table pretend as much as anybody else. And God says, there's no need for that. There's no pretending. You know why? He says, because you were loved. Because I love. Your sins are forgiven because I have forgiven your sin. So there's no need to pretend at the Lord's table. It's impossible to fool Him. It's impossible to pull the wool over His eyes. And God makes it very clear that that's not necessary to live and to serve around this table. No more pretending. What kind of relief would that be to people like you and me who spend our lives looking around every corner, hoping that we're not found out, hoping that people will accept us for who we are, when we come to the Lord's table and realize that there's no such thing as pretense. He doesn't allow it. It's not part of good manners at this table. Tell you what, there's something else that I hear going around the conversation of those who sit at the Lord's table. And that is that we're constantly reminded that we are lives in process. That the very persons that we are today, we shouldn't be tomorrow. Why? Because we're ever making moves forward. We're growing in grace. The Bible has a real unique word for this. It's called sanctification. We don't use that word in everyday language. Most of us don't. But it's a great word, because what it means is that you begin here, but you make progress and you move and you grow and you mature and you begin to see things differently. And as time goes on, you realize that coming to this table was not about earning your way to this table. It was not about getting to a certain level to where you're admitted to join this table. It's about coming just like we are. It's about coming and accepting the invitation to receive Christ into our lives, to live the life of faith, knowing that He accepts us just like we are. Boy, that's a great table to sit around. I mean, you spend all your time over here, what are you going to be doing? Condemning one another. No one will ever see light at the end of a tunnel at this table of shame and regret. Or you spend your time over here at this table that's so perfectly set, but it's all plastic, really. It's all just a pretense. No one that sits at this table of arrogance is worthy. No one that sits at this table of shame and regret is worthy. None of us are. That's why we've been given the invitation to come to the Lord's table, to come to His kingdom, to live the life of faith, and to come just as we are, knowing that we don't have to stay like we are each and every day, because we grow. We become more like Christ. And then there's another conversation going on around this table. And that is, I hear people talking about their lives and how desperate they are for God. Really? I mean, in this day and age in which we live, when people are desperate to do so many other things, there are so many other issues that take up our time, there are so many other goals that we have that are before us, we're training up our children, we're leading our families to think this or that is so important. And yet when you come to this table and you feast at this table and you take on the life of Christ at this table, you begin to see how desperate you are for God, for His presence in your life. I mean, folks, how many decisions do you make each and every day that are between right and wrong and good and bad? Well, we'll all make decisions like that. But hopefully most of us are beyond those decisions. I'm thankful that I don't have to get up every morning and pray that I won't murder someone. I don't have to get up and deal with the fact, am I going to be overwhelmed to shoplift at Walmart? No, I don't deal with those things. But what about these choices? What about where you are in life? What about your occupation? What about the person you may or may not marry? What about the search you have for those important issues of life, of where you need to be and how you need to act? Oh, those get a little more difficult because those aren't between right and wrong. Those are between good and better and best. And you pray for good, but in the back of your mind, what do you really want? What does God want for you? He doesn't want just what's good. He wants you to have what is best. And so a life lived at this table acknowledges a desperate need for God. That's why God has provided a place at this table for you and me. So it all comes down to, what do you hear? What do you hear? There's a Greek myth. It's not in the Bible. Maybe you've heard it before. Maybe you haven't. It's a compilation of stories that are mythological. They're made up. They teach great lessons. And some of them shed light upon some very important issues of life that we find even in the Bible. One of those is the story of the Song of the Sirens. Maybe you remember it. It was back in that day in ancient Greece where the sailors would be passing by the different islands of the Greek Isles. And there was one particular place where there would be those angelic, really spiritual beings that sang beautiful songs, but their song wasn't to entice someone to a better day. It was to bring them into the rocks so that their ship would smash up and be battered. They would lose everything, including their lives. And people knew about these sirens, these beautiful songs, these melodies that you could hear when you sailed your boat around a certain island, that if you weren't careful, you would be enticed to get closer, to hear the music, and then you would be doomed. One particular man in Greek mythology, his name was Odysseus. He knew what was going to happen when his ship passed that way. And so he filled up the ears of all of his oarsmen, all of his sailors with beeswax so they couldn't hear. And then he had his second best mate to tie him and lash him to the mast of the ship. And he said, no matter what I say, no matter what I do, don't listen to me. And sure enough, as they pass by that way, the beautiful songs begin to be heard. But the oarsmen couldn't hear it. Odysseus screamed and yelled for them to turn that way. But they couldn't hear and they wouldn't obey. And they made it to safe passage. But then another man named Orpheus came later. And he took a different route. He said, I'm going to play music that is far better than the music of the sirens. And so he played a song that was much more enticing, that was much more beautiful. And he focused upon that music so that when he passed by that point of danger, he wasn't tempted. He couldn't hear the music of the sirens because he had already made his choice to listen to something better. Now, both of these guys made it to safety. But one of them made it under great stress, fighting it all the way, while another chose beforehand to listen to something better, to attach himself to something more beautiful, more valuable. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Folks, here's the deal. On a day like today, you've got to make a choice beforehand. If you're seeking God's kingdom first and you're looking to sit at his table, then you've already made a choice that no matter what else comes your way, you're not going to hear it. You're going to be so in tune with what God wants you to do. You're going to be so grateful to be around this table. You're going to be so desperate for him that anything else you won't even pay attention to. Or are you going to spend your life struggling? Are you going to spend your life sitting at one table or the next, never making up your mind where you really need to be? When all along we've been invited right here to the Lord's table, to his kingdom, to his way of life. We've been invited to salvation, to sit around the table of redemption, to sit around the table of the God who created us and knows what is best for us and will lead us and guide us. What do you hear? Which table is yours? Our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to gather here, to call upon your name. And Father, it's my prayer that we make choices today that honor you, that we take you, that we love you, that we take your invitation seriously and come to your kingdom. It's in Christ's name we offer our prayer. Amen. We close this service today with a time of invitation, a song of commitment. For it could well be that you're here today and you have yet to say yes to Jesus. Maybe you find yourself clearly at one of these other tables today and the desire is to come and to be here at God's table. That's a choice of faith. It's a prayer that you pray for Christ to come into your heart, to forgive you of your sin. For he died upon a cross and we celebrate today that he rose from the dead and he lives in our hearts. If that's a decision God is leading you to make today, we invite you to come forward. There'll be deacons and ministers here across this front to receive you. Maybe what your desire is today is to have a church to call your own. Maybe this is where God is leading you. He's encouraging you to be a part of a church family. If that's what God is leading you to do today, we invite you to come forward to join this church, to be a part of our congregation. Maybe it's the simple fact that you know the Lord, but you've been spending time at that table of shame and regret, or maybe your spiritual walk has become so predictable that you're arrogant in everything that you do. Why don't you leave those tables behind and come back where you belong? Recommit yourself to the walk of faith in following Jesus. Maybe you need to choose beforehand how you're going to react to certain things. Maybe you need to go ahead and line your life up so that you can listen to his voice and not be tempted by anything else. What would that be in your life? I don't know. But God will help you if you'll just ask. That's our invitation. Maybe you need someone to pray for you. If that's a simple case, then I would simply want you to know that we have some people who will pray for you today. Ray's going to be standing over here. Liz on the other side. Lon will be up in the balcony. These people are just here simply to pray for you. That's our invitation. We stand together. We sing. Won't you respond to him right now?